Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Welcome to the Roker Report podcast in association with Vaux Brewery. I'm your host Craig, and joining me to discuss what now seems another nail in the coffin of Sunderland's automatic promotion bid is fellow Roker Reporter Alex. Alex, please do remind me, why aren't you hosting today?
Well, I'm not hosting. I don't feel very well, and when I don't feel very well, Craig, I lack the cognition to host properly. So yeah, I'm just gonna sit and talk, and you're gonna do the hard bit.
Right. Okay. So we've got the B team hosting again. We're also joined by the spokesperson for the entire fan base and Roker Report manager Gav. You all right?
Spokesperson, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm also involved in creating and making bikes. Apparently.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's news to me.
It's been an interesting week on social media.
Yeah. I get accused of all sorts.
What, like making bikes?
I'm a spokesperson.
That's a very strange accusation, that, like.
And finally, we're also joined by I Love Supremes, Martin McFadden. You all right, Martin?
No, not really, but welcome to the Rover End Cafe.
Yes, it's...
I suppose I'm kind of like the host.
You are, I was going to say. Different surroundings for the main show. Last week we were in a pub with a crying baby, and today we're in the Roker Inn Cafe with Dennis.
four crying babies
and Dennis the dog, so it's let's see how this one turns out.
Settle down, Dennis, to be fair.
He knows misery's about to fall in line, isn't it? Right, so in case you missed it, Sunderland were held to a frustrating 2-2 draw with Gillingham at the Stadium of Light on Saturday after Mikhail Mandron, if you remember him, scored in the 96th minute. Phil Parkinson made one change to a starting 11, with Lafferty replacing the injured Charlie Wyke to make his first start for Sunderland. After a fairly uneventful first 45 minutes, Sunderland did finally turn it up a gear in the second half when Kyle Lafferty nodded home from a Denver Hume cross to score his first for the club. The lads were dealt an instant setback though when Mandron responded with a finish of his own, but again Lafferty took the game by the scruff of the neck once again as he prodded home with a little under 10 minutes to go. And then, just when everything was going to plan, in the 6th minute of injury time, Mandron came back to haunt us by scoring with pretty much the last kick of the game. So rather than climb to within a point of the second spot, we are now 5th and we are still 3 points shy of Rotherham. Alex, I'm going to come to you first. What on earth happened?
Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick off with the only positive I think I can fathom after yesterday. But again, it's wrapped in more bizarre decision making from the manager, I think, and that's Kyle Lafferty. Obviously was my standout performer yesterday, getting both of the goals, you know, two very tidy finishes, you know, quite quintessential sort of target man kind of goals that you would hope for. I mean, obviously it's a decision that that Parkinson was effectively forced into, which is quite strange to say. I mean, I'd imagine most fans would probably agree that had Wyke not have been injured, he probably would have started again. I think it's certainly very likely given how much store Parkinson seems to set by him. But obviously with Wyke, you know, by default out of contention, Lafferty did start, being the, you know, fundamentally most similar striker to Wyke. But no, I thought he was really, really good. And I think without him, we would have just lost 2-0. I think because, had you have had another striker playing how Lafferty did today that we have in our books, we wouldn't have scored those goals. But what happened is, I think, despite having a clinical finisher up front, it still couldn't excuse the, you know, fairly abject defending for both of the goals. You know, the first one, it was a complete mix-up. And yeah, I mean, the ball might have fell a bit awkwardly and a bit unfortunately, but still, you would kind of hope that we get at least one body in the way there. It seemed like when Mandron got the shot away, it just sort of eluded everyone.
Yeah.
These are mistakes that we weren't making a few weeks ago.
I know.
I thought they were actually both half-decent finishes, even though they pained me to see them go in.
But oh, no.
They both came from, like, long throws, which apparently we had done work on during the week. Mm-hmm. But I think the second one, obviously, he changed the central defensive setup to try and get the winner, and then we got the winner, and then he kind of had to change the defense around it, you know. But you could see that the manager was gutted after the game. Obviously, not as much as what we were, but that they had worked on that long throw, and that is their main weapon. And even though they were both, you know, half decent finishers, the goals came from the long throws. But I was gutted when I walked out the stadium. But at the same time, when I watched the highlights, I thought, actually, we probably deserved to lose. Like, yeah, on the balance of chances, like McLaughlin kept us in the game. And and I don't think White would have scored those goals. So, like, in a way, even though a draw wasn't good enough, if you're an impartial observer, you would say, like, we actually deserved to lose. I don't think we played well at all. And 2 points from nine ain't top two form, is
no.
it?
No. One win and four, isn't it? I think what Parkinson has to take from yesterday, if we're going to take any glaring positive, it was that, having been forced into playing Lafferty, it showed what these players he signed can do. You know, he bought six players in from January onwards, obviously, if you include Smith, and they're all supposedly better than what we've got. Championship players, Scowen, championship midfielder, Smith being a captain of a Ipswich team who challenged largely in the top half of the championship for the whole time he was there. Semenyo, one of the next big things, apparently, at Bristol City. You know, it goes on and on. These players are apparently better than what we've got, and we haven't seen them. I mean, Declan John isn't even making the bench. He's a Wales international who's played Premier League football, and he can't even make our bench.
I know. I think it is a balance between, obviously, not to change. We got a settled side, and we did do well, and got ourselves back into the situation that we needed to be. But that was just because the first couple of months of Phil Parkinson's reign were, like, so terrible, you know. And obviously when Jack Ross left, we were fifth, and now we're fifth. Are we fifth?
Still fifth.
But I mean, looking at the live table yesterday, you know, before Oxford scored and before we conceded, we would have been third, as I'm sure I don't want to kind of, like, remind everybody of that negativity. But, and then if we'd won on Tuesday, we would have been in the top two, because, like, nobody else is playing, I believe, to affect that. But, you know, if you don't take your chances, then, you know, you don't go up. So, and I did feel, just by the balance of the way the season pans out, that we would go through a bit of a blip before the end of the season, because, you know, we were, like, firing. It was like, it's going to happen. So hopefully this is it. And then even if we do end up in the playoffs, we're in good form going in. But then there's so many teams on 59 points now, I think. You know,
there are six teams, I believe, on 59 points.
Yeah. The eighth team has got 59 points.
Yeah.
Well, there's only really Coventry now who look capable of pulling away from everybody else.
Yeah. Well, they've moved 4 points to Rotherham, haven't they?
Yeah. So that's gone, isn't it? Yeah.
But 3-4 weeks ago, it looked like Rotherham were going to run away with the league. Mm-hmm. And they lost 3-0 to Rochdale, who are
3-1.
Like, 3-1, sorry. Who are shocking, you know.
Yeah, like, they are. I think Rochdale, when I saw them here, I mean, when we played them under Ross, I think on the wrong ground they looked half decent, but when we played them here, they were absolutely abject. Like, they were, I think, bar none, the worst team we've seen there this season. Had they have not resorted to just booting it long after, like, 30 minutes, we could have won about 10-0. It was that bad. Like,
they kind of give us the game by trying to play it out the back, didn't they? It was, like, absolutely insanity for them.
I know. Yeah. But because when you look at the standard of players they've got, you know, obviously, given I'm not a football manager by any stretch of the imagination, but had I have got those cohort of players, I wouldn't be tempted to play out from the back with that kind of team in League One. But, but evidently that's worked against Rotherham, a team, you know, who were vying for the automatic spots. So that's a bad result.
It's not just us under pressure.
Yeah. If we'd lost like that away to Rochdale, if that was our game that we'd just played yesterday, we'd be absolutely fuming now. You know, we'd think that the wheels had just come off, because that would be that's a completely abject result.
I do feel that there's no, like, sort of team. I know Coventry look like they are at the minute, but I don't think they're anything special.
I said that last week. I thought when we played them last week, it was two poor teams.
I was actually more impressed by them last season when we played them.
Going away,
but they were getting it together. And then obviously Wickham have fallen, like Ipswich, by default, were going to be, like, near the top, and now they're 10th, I believe, you know. So I don't think anybody's any good. On the good side of it, I'm trying to tell myself that I probably would have settled for this on Boxing Day just to be in the mix of the playoffs, like, because I was actually thinking, like, could we get relegated? You know what I mean? Well, this is terrible.
That was the form we were heading in.
Yeah, exactly. We were, like, 15th and on bottom three on relegation form. So
I think 16th was the absolute lowest we got to, wasn't it? Yeah. But that's low, you know.
Exactly. So we've managed to kind of turn it around, and I think nobody's under any illusions that, like, all of a sudden those players became good players overnight. We're still, you know, and even the ones that we've brought in, I don't believe that they're that amazing, because they haven't been able to push the teams out. You know, it's like, I don't feel either transfer windows were, you know, there was, Dave Watson came on the pitch at half time and yesterday, and someone said, oh, he was the first £100,000 player, you know, like almost 50 years ago. It was just like, oh, apart from Will Grigg, when was the last time we spent £100,000? We don't even spend £100,000 on a player. Because the guy was, oh, that's nothing now. I was like, well, it is actually, because we just do free transfers.
We wouldn't shell 150 on Liam Boyce, put it that way.
Well, again,
you know, we only know as much as sort of like the press would leak, but that's what we are led to believe based on what
I guess it's fine margins, isn't it, that we're going to see. Obviously, we don't know how the season's going to play out. There's 9 games left. But in terms of, is the squad good enough right now? I'm not sure if it's good enough for the top two, even though we're that close. I just feel like there's a, maybe it is, but we're not seeing some of the players that could actually improve it. And the problem is we're 9 games left. Yeah. You're running out of time to...
But say,
for instance, Tommy Smith, just as an example, he's been brought in maybe as backup or whatever. He's, for him to get into the swing of things, particularly if we end up in the playoffs, he's got to start playing now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Same with Scowen. I mean, Scowen, he's had the odd 30 minutes here and there. I mean, if he's going to really be able to have any sort of impact before the end of the season, he has to play now.
I think he was like waiting for Dobson to get that booking, wasn't he? And then
He's been on that ban for, but now he
seems to be playing. People are obviously like undecided on him because there seems to be mixed opinions, but I actually think Dobson's doing pretty well. And like yesterday's second goal, kind of like he did really well.
Yeah, it was
like winning the ball, you know, it was a classic. If you say like, what do you want from your central midfielder?
Yeah.
He breaks up an attack and creates a goal scoring opportunity, which, you know, ends, it could have been the winner. So
I think it's funny though, isn't
it? I don't think he'll drop Max Power now he's made him captain. So I think it's difficult. But this excuse is obviously Lafferty should have been playing before now. And I think that was when he celebrated. I think someone said he went straight to the fitness coach.
He went to John, it was in the paper this morning. He ran to John Cook because his dad had died.
Right.
Apparently, it was to do with that.
Right. Fair.
But I think you're right. Dobson does deserve a lot of credit for that. But I'm a little bit worried about his all round game performances. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just him. Power has the odd stinker as well. But I thought, to be honest, I thought until he did that, and don't get us wrong, it was brilliant. I mean, the way he won the ball and played Lafferty and quick thinking, that's what we need to see more of. But I just think until he did that, he was really ineffective. And I thought, even on their second goal, he was a bit lost, came over his head, he just watched it. There's certain things with Dobson where he gets caught ball watching and maybe doesn't concentrate enough. And I'm supposing, well, he's a young player and he's a League One player, so he's got mistakes in his locker. But
that's why you're bringing your replacement in January.
I've just got this thing nagging at the back of my head that we've signed this lad. And it's not like signing, I don't know, a 30-odd-year-old who's been around the block a bit. Like, Scowen's 26. He's a championship midfield player. QPR fans were actually a little bit disappointed to lose him, and he can't even get on our team. Mm-hmm. And I've got this thing nagging at the back of my head. Like, are we really missing something here? This lad could be better than what we've got.
Yeah, I just think Parkinson's psychology is that he's cautious for change. If you look at the times that his substitutions are made, and you know, like, you pick up little things about managers. You know, Jack Ross would be like, even if we'd, I think, did we go through a period of winning like 7 in a row last year? We went on a good run, didn't we? And he kept changing the team, you know, just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
So like, Ross would always change the team, whereas Parkinson is like the opposite. Ross would be like, oh, well, he's been busy in training this week, I'll put him in because he's worked hard. He's been a bit lazy, you know.
I favour that.
And Parkinson's, maybe it's a balance between the two, but I mean, they made their substitutions, like all three, before like 70 minutes.
That was quite early.
Like,
it actually
like nearly cost them because they had that injury at the end, and it was like, can that lad carry on? He wasn't really, you know, he wasn't really fit to win the game, but obviously they still managed to get that goal back. But yeah, I think a balance between the two, but you get to know managers, and I just think Parkinson is kind of like, he sets out his stall, he's cautious. And, you know, like, if he made a change at half time, it would be because, you know, someone's been decapitated. He doesn't. And obviously, there are players on the bench that can now change the game. He had 3 attacking players on the bench yesterday. We didn't look like scoring, and it was like, well, let's go.
I thought Semenyo had a really good,
he had
big
impact.
Yeah. I mean,
we're giving him the ball further up the field as opposed to kind of like trying to get out, you know, like on the halfway line.
That's the difference with Cooch and Maguire. Obviously, Maguire is undroppable. He's the main creative outlet in the team, whether he plays well or not. But with like Semenyo, the difference between him and Gooch will go looking for the ball on the edge of our box. Mm. I feel like Semenyo likes to play up next to the striker.
I think he's more of a natural forward.
And I just think I thought we looked a lot better when he was on the pitch. He didn't even have to really be particularly involved in what was going on the ball. He was giving them something extra to think about because they know he has pace. Mm. You know, he can get in behind and push with two up front, and it totally changed everything because they weren't sure really who to watch, what to mark, no. You know.
But the expectancy is every single week now we're turning up. And I think if White wasn't injured yesterday, we still perhaps would have thought he'd be in the lineup. Is it becoming a concern now that everybody rocking up at the stadium light team have done the homework? The first 20 minutes of most games recently, we were, you know, blown teams away.
Yeah.
But now they're setting up the stall. But as you've mentioned, Semenyo came on and all of a sudden they just couldn't cope. So if you've got these people in reserve,
you've got to use them.
No, I think
as if we're not pressing. Sorry, I feel as if we're not pressing like we were when the new system like started to work. You know, it's the same system, but the likes of Gooch and Maguire were kind of like really destroying teams. We're winning games, you know, in the first 20 minutes, half an hour. We don't seem to be playing that pressing game, even though it's the same system. I don't understand why.
Alex, I think you had a point there.
Yeah, I dare say though, maybe to play devil's advocate there. I think how we play is still on the balance of it fairly effective. But what the issue that we've run into is that we do play in a very specific way. Mm-hmm. Like, much like Ross Parkinson, I wrote an article on the site just this week gone. But Parkinson, much like Ross, really favours playing to the wings, looking for the overlap. You know, he puts a lot of emphasis on wing backs and wingers. And, you know, their role effectively is to be the creative outlet to, you know, get forward, bring the ball into the middle, find the striker, or in the case of the striker, sometimes the striker will act as a diversion, bringing the defenders away while the wingers can sort of work the magic and get the ball in the box that way. And I think against most teams in the league, when you've got Hume and Gooch and 09 running at them and Maguire, I think it's very effective just because the like sheer quality is too much for the average League One fullback to handle.
It worked yesterday, didn't it?
I think Gillingham, you know, while they, you know, evident by their league position, aren't as resilient as, say, Fleetwood or Coventry. They did, you know, they did set up quite well and they did, you know, do a relatively decent job of containing us. I mean, obviously, Hume managed to get through.
Hume just had the run of that left-hand side for most of the game.
He did.
To be fair, normally, what I've noticed recently with Hume is that teams are doubling up on him, sometimes tripling up on him to stop him, because it's dead effective what we do. We effectively go up the wing with three players, usually Maguire, or receive the ball, wait for the overlap, either cut it inside to play the ball in behind from the centre midfield player, or he'll just find the space.
Yeah.
And every time Hume got in, and I thought, well, you know, when Hume does that, he can be really effective, but his crossing is just so, I don't know, it fluctuates, the quality of his crossing.
Yeah. But yesterday, I mean, the cross that he swung in for Lafferty when he scored is a one that,
first time, obviously.
I would absolutely say that White would not have scored that. I think sometimes we have to maybe afford him a little bit of leniency and just say sometimes it can fall to the striker to make the most of what he gets from a delivery. Like, I think if we're expecting White to score and we're qualifying his lack of scoring by saying, yeah, but his deliveries aren't quite good enough, I think that's harsh on Hume or Gooch or whoever, because sometimes, I mean, you know, you see it at higher level. You see it, you know, indeed at this level, really. You know, sometimes like a good striker, or at least a decent one, you know, may receive, you know, a bit of a suspect cross. But if he can make the most of it, if he's got that natural sort of finishing instinct or that precision, he can put it away regardless, or he can at least hold it up and then bring other players into it. You know, I think if it was White receiving that ball from Hume that Lafferty scored, I think White would have either missed or been muscled off it.
I don't even think he would have been in the position. Yeah, I think that's the problem.
He's just not a natural goalscorer.
I mean, to be fair,
I don't think Lafferty is, but he is more than White, but most people are, you know.
Yeah,
it's more instinctive.
If you look at Lafferty's career, he hasn't been a big scorer of goals. I mean, he had that one season when he played for Hearts where he got like 17, I think.
But I just feel at this level, you know, like sometimes we'd have players when, say, the likes of Whitehead when we got promoted under McCarthy. He scored quite a lot of goals in the Championship. Obviously, you're winning games and stuff. And then when you go up that level, he struggled.
Yeah,
we're
big
more
time.
Defensively. But I think like Lafferty should be comfortable in this league because generally he's played above this level.
I don't think he's played at this lower standard yet.
White is like a League One player. And he's not even a sort of top-class League One player. I mean, like, I don't want to sit here and destroy him. But if you look at all the players that we'd want to sign last year, you know, like the best strikers from other clubs, like you wouldn't have come up with Charlie White. And, you know, and like, it was like, oh yeah, he's he's like a bona fide League One striker. He's one of the best, but the team that we signed him from got relegated.
Yeah.
And then you look at innumerable other players, you know, like Marquess and Eves and the guys like Charlton had like two good forwards. We didn't, you know, we didn't really have, obviously, Grigg should have been or should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got a weird feeling that Grigg might have a little like sort of impact this season. I'm kind of happy that he didn't go somewhere else just for the sake of saving a little bit of money because no one could afford him. I still sort of fancy to have him on the bench, or like if the ball's bobbling around and you're pushing for a late winner or a late equaliser, then he is. Obviously, he hasn't showed it at Sunderland, but throughout his career, we know that he can put the ball in the back of the net. So at least we've got him. And I think Parkinson, I think White could have played yesterday from the way I read into his quotes, where they kind of wanted to rest him and he's been struggling for that while. And then he thought Lafferty was ready. And then if he had to take him off, then he had Grigg and Watmore. He had three strikers on the bench, basically, didn't he? Three forward players.
Semenyo as well.
Exactly.
That you've just made a stink there, actually, though. Tuesday night, if White is fit, I know you're obviously saying Grigg could have a part to play, but is he not the first player to drop off that
bench? Probably, yeah. Because he does like to have... I mean, I think that's why other people that you'd expect to be on the bench haven't been, because like with McLaughlin, not the goalkeeper, the fullbacks, like central defender, whatever position he's meant to be, he can obviously cover both wing back positions, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why John hasn't featured, and he does tend to have like for like replacements. So I was surprised not to see White yesterday, but I think he said he could have played with a painkiller, and he has been. So they just like wanted to rest it. But my worry sort of is towards the end of this month, really, where I always thought we needed to kind of put some points on the board, because we're going to have like 2 weeks where we don't play.
Yeah.
And most of those other teams are going to play two games in that time. And then we're going to be like playing catch up, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what that's the situation we found ourselves in last year.
Yeah psychologically, exactly. It's a bit of a hurdle. I mean, knowing that you've got games in hand is all well and good, but I think psychologically for the players, they must think it must be a lot nicer if I was, say, Barnsley and I know I've got points in the bag. That would have been the scenario last season. So obviously now with teams playing more games, I mean, naturally, if you're not playing and they are, you are going to drop down because teams at the top are going to win.
Yeah.
So if you slump to, say, seventh through no fault of your own, you're still going to feel a lot more pressure. Because like, if I don't win, we stay here and we stay outside the playoffs.
The way he's talking is that he's not confident enough in the replacements so we can play Southend, who are actually the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You know, they're only not bottom because of Bolton's like point deduction.
By default, isn't it?
It's just kind of like, if you don't feel as if those fringe players are good enough to beat Southend away, like you know, why did we sign Burge? Because I don't think there's much between Burge. You know, like obviously Flanagan might get called up for Northern Ireland.
But then you got Tommy Smith.
We can do without him, you know what I mean? We've got Lynch, we've got Smith.
I sat and thought about this the other day, and it was before yesterday's game, but I worked out an 11 of players we could feasibly put out who don't normally play.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that would probably push for promotion, to be honest. And if they were given a run again, I mean, it was like Burge, McLaughlin, Lynch, Smith, John. That's a back five of players who don't play. Scowen, Ethan Robson, Embleton, Semenyo, Watmore, Grigg.
They'd get a game for like most of the games. But which players were actually really going to be missing during this international break?
Wait, who's going to actually go? McLaughlin could get called to Scotland.
He will.
And Flanagan
will, because he's been playing.
Yeah, but I mean, Maguire's not going to get called for Scotland. Maguire's not.
There was conversations. Yeah.
Flanagan doesn't even get a game for Northern Ireland half the time.
I think he'll get called up. Conor McLaughlin hasn't been playing, so he probably won't.
It's one of those things where they Lafferty might, because he's playing now. Like, if he's not going to play, you know, we did it last year, didn't we? When Jack Ross put the call in, it was like, well, do you really need him? Like, this is just this one game. It's like a vital game. But they seem to have accepted that they're going to have this two-week break, which...
I wonder if it's got less to do with these players that we're having reserve on. I'm not sure if they're going to be capable of winning the game.
Yeah.
And more to do with, I really want to give the players a rest before what's going to be a grueling
end
of the season.
But surely 1 week rest is enough, because it's effectively 4 days without a game.
I've just got a feeling that's maybe the thinking behind it. They've maybe took a decision and thought, we can probably afford to play this game midweek down the line because they are shit.
No, but you see, though, that's it. I mean, I wouldn't want to... The thing is, though, knowing what I know as a Sunderland fan, I wouldn't want that risk. I know they're a terrible team. I'm very aware of how bad they are.
Last season, so...
Yeah. Well, I know... I mean, I don't... Yeah. I mean, that we just that. I mean, that game was ridiculous. We just threw the towel in that game. It was stupid.
But wasn't that the same sort of thing? Like at the end of the season.
But that's it. I don't want us to play them.
It was only whether we were going to finish like. It was who were
fourth, fifth, yeah. To be honest, I think we'd already tossed promotion off before that, hadn't we?
Yeah.
With like them couple of games before.
It's a weird choice of words, Gav. I know what you mean.
We had though. We're totally
bored.
Speak for
yourself.
Yeah. But like, I've got a weird feeling that things could end up playing out the same. I'm like, that's precisely why
I don't want to play the midweek. Yeah. If we just, I would rather, right? If we lose two or three men to the international break, that's absolutely fine because the people who we are going to lose. Are in theory, and I say this in theory because obviously we get to see it in practice, replaceable by who we sign in January. And again, we know we come back to the same point. For me, it's quite infuriating how we have signed these players, and on paper, everything we've heard from fans of other clubs in the Championship or fans of, say, Ipswich, who are now in League One, would have had these players before, like in Tommy Smith. We're only hearing good things. Ipswich were baffled that they didn't renew his contract initially. They would have happily had him there. And he's 29, you know, he's not over the hill.
Yeah.
As a centre-back, you've got maybe two, three, you know, more years before you begin to, you know, to grind, you would say. So Menyo, as you say, you know, he's an up-and-coming talent. We saw with Lafferty there that, you know, I mean, again, while he's not, you know, the quintessential finisher, you know, he's never been a, you know, serial goal scorer in his career, but, you know, hell, he's better than Wyke from what we saw yesterday. He gives us an option through the middle.
Yeah,
I mean, again, I mean, I said before that when Lafferty got that ball from Hume, it's the kind of one that Wyke either wouldn't have been in the box for in time or would have just outright missed or been muscled away from by the defender. Through the middle, I'm personally not convinced that Wyke would have opted to run straight through one goal. I think a part of me, knowing how sort of like defensively oriented he is for a striker,
he may have
opted to put his foot on the ball and shield it away from the defender. But as we've seen with Wyke, at best, that results in him winning a free kick, and at worst, means he gets muscled off. That we shout for a foul.
Yeah,
we shout for a foul. We don't get it. We complain, but then deep down we know shouldn't really have done that. You know, I just think with Wyke, and again, I don't want to berate him too much, but I feel like you could play Alamos Turk up front and have the same impact because he plays like a centre back.
Speaking of Ozturk, saw a good point raised on social media. Probably worth talking about. Some people have sort of suggested that although you only played a few, four or five games, mm-hmm. we're actually missing Bailey Wright in the middle.
Yeah.
The leadership qualities that he brings to the defence. I mean, I was a big defender of Ozturk when he was brought out of the team. I was like, well, we've kept like three, four clean sheets mm-hmm. with him in the defence. It's a little bit harsh to take him out of the team. But now after the last three games, I'm a little bit thinking, I mean, fine margins... When in a promotion race can be, you know, that can make a big difference and things like you've got, like I've just said before about Scowen, you're right about Smith. He's only 29 and he is probably a Championship player and we've got him sitting not even on the bench. I'm sort of wondering, well, is it really worth us taking that risk when we know this lad will come into the team and be able to play? All right, he might not be up to speed straight away, but he's got to be better than League One because his career shows. He was a top performing central defender in the Championship.
Like nothing's happened to him that we're aware of. You know, he's not got an injury that's you know set him back. He's, you know, there was no issue with his fitness dip switched. You know, there was no controversy or anything negative surrounding him. You know, explicitly, he didn't have his contract renewed.
Well,
he's been given one.
I have no doubt that these are conversations Parkinson and his staff have. They're clever people. They're not idiots, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have done a good job since they came in of sort of getting the squad in the right place and back on track, and I have no doubt they're well aware of what Smith can offer.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder what it is that's stopping them making the snap judgment of like, right, we just need to play this lad today. Because like I said earlier, I have no doubt that had Wyke been fit, declared himself fit to play, he would have played yesterday ahead of Lafferty, and seeing them come into the team just shows that, well, we have players who might just be a little bit better than what you're actually putting out on the pitch every week.
Mm-hmm.
And the same kind of goes for Smith. I just wonder, well, we've seen what Lynch can do. We've seen what Ozturk can do. Why not put this lad in with nine games to go and maybe we'll see a return of some clean sheets, you know?
Do you think it's just one of those cases where he's doubled down on plan A so much and he kind of stumbled upon a winning formula and things were ticking along now that he seems petrified to make even the smallest of changes just in case he reverts back to that run where we just stop winning again.
But he keeps making the same... people say he hasn't got a plan B. He actually has. If there's a trend of how he seems to change the team at the end of games when things aren't going in our favour. Yeah, or putting Gucci left wing back.
Yeah, but
you
see,
although it has worked on a couple of occasions. I mean, we did manage to get ourselves level against Fleetwood as a result of that change. Mm-hmm. I do think that he has got a plan B. I'm just wondering whether you've got to kind of look at him and go, well, I'm actually making the same changes every week.
Yeah.
But that's it. But the thing is, though,
we are predictable. But then again, Gillingham were predictable yesterday in that the main threat was the long throw.
Yeah.
And they still had two goals from it.
And we knew what they were going to
do. Just actually backtrack to what we were talking about, the international break. There's like 14 days between the Blackpool and the Southend game, which presumably is enough of a break, you know.
Do you think so?
So, but if that's cancelled, obviously it becomes a 21-day break. And then are we going to be able to pick up momentum again by like not playing all the time? You know, it's almost like, you know, when you start the season off and you need to get in your stride and everything. Mm. Are we going to come back? My worry is that we're going to come back for these last seven games and we're going to have to kind of like get going again. You know, you're going to have to kind of, when you come back off holiday and you go back and work, it takes you a few days to sort of get up to speed.
Well, that's it. If I was a player looking at that, right, if I'm a player who's, you know, who's got tunnel vision on that automatic promotion push, and I've got to wait 21 days before my next game, I think the anticipation would work against you. I don't think you'd be waiting for the next game with that kind of hype. I think having, say, the 14 days, you know, without the additional break, I think that in itself should be satisfactory.
Just especially since a lot of the time in this league, especially last year when we were more involved in cup competitions, we're playing two games a week, every week.
I'd hate the wait. I mean,
it's
that's
almost
3 weeks.
Having a midweek game is almost like time off.
I wonder what he's thinking is. I wonder why do we need to not play that game?
I don't want to sort of like play the hokey cokey with me whole Parkinson in and out thing, but I don't really get a lot of his mentality sometimes. Like I don't. You say there about his plan B, but my gripe with that is that his plan A every week is identical and the subsequent plan B is identical. Now, a plan B that happens at the exact same time, the exact same way after plan A, isn't a plan B. It's just an extended version of the plan A. Because the teams watching him will know, right, if he's going to do this on 70 minutes because this isn't working, then we know how to counteract that. Okay, we are playing teams towards the end of the season who have intelligent managers and good players. You know, we've got Rotherham, we've got Peterborough, we've got good teams coming up. We've got, you know, reasonably resilient ones. You know, I mean, obviously, you've got a few that aren't very good. You know, Accrington and Stanley aren't a good team. Southend are completely terrible. Bristol Rovers held us until they got a man sent off. And, you know, we probably would have scored, but you never know. I just think when you come towards the end of it, he needs to just be a little bit more spontaneous. I'm not saying he's got to just sort of like chuck a random team together week in, week out, but he's got to keep the opposition guessing, because I think right now, we are a very predictable team. You know, like we play the exact same way from the off. If it's not working, we make the exact same kind of subs. You know, that can be neutralised by the opposition's manager. And, you know, it's very predictable.
Thing is with Parkinson as well, you know, like Gooch, for instance, can play badly, but work very hard.
Mm.
And I think he'll overlook the obvious flaws in a player's game because of the effort they bring occasionally. Mm. So Gooch, for me, hasn't played well for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a number of attacking players on the bench who could replace him feasibly. And I'm still, even after Semenyo came on and did well, I still don't feel like he would bat him by saying, right, you played well the other day, son, you're going to play on Tuesday night.
Talking about Tuesday night, do you think now, after yesterday's performance, that if Wyke's fit, like Lafferty's number one striking choice now?
Has to be, doesn't it? Someone else suggested that.
It almost seems like reluctantly the way, you know, he played him, but he's come in and scored two goals, so that surely for me that's...
He's made his claim now, hasn't he?
I mean, he wouldn't play them together, would he?
No.
I don't think.
No, I think unless you're chasing the game, you know.
Yeah, he has done that. That's been...
He did it
He did that against Fleetwood as well. He brought Lafferty on with Wyke.
Just like kitchen sink,
you know. Yeah. It was.
But you've got that variety of options there, and I just... If you're going to go with two strikers, it has to be... Semenyo for me. I just think this lad's got something. There was a moment in the game yesterday where he cut down the right-hand side and just absolutely burnt their left-back for pace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, and I was like, we don't have anybody who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the only... Gooch is quick. Hume's quick, but they don't do that. They're not that quick. And sometimes I think in tight games, you need somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
If he seems disciplined enough. I mean, I wouldn't say he's your typical sort of jinky winger who tries to take everybody on, loses the ball. I think he's quite intelligent with the ball, actually. It was quite often yesterday he was getting in and just passing it short and moving into space. So he's a lot more intelligent maybe than people think. And I think he could play on the wing. maybe is pushing up alongside Lafferty when you need him. Like, if we get those stat packs through after every game, and it shows the average position of players. And while Maguire basically plays on the wing alongside O'Neill, Gooch is very much up front most of the time alongside Lafferty. His average position tends to be in and around Lafferty. So I don't see why you couldn't really play somebody else in that role. And I guess it all comes down to that same thing, whether Partington has any sort of faith in the players he has in reserve,
They played an awful lot of football as well. You mentioned the likes of Gooch, and he has looked dead on his feet in recent weeks.
But I think he's always looked better when he's coming fresh.
Yeah,
yep,
absolutely. It's always been after that, say, 4, 5, 6 game absence, he comes in and then all of a sudden he looks like a world beater again. And I think, unfortunately, that's pretty much where he is. That's one of his limitations, that he does look burnt out, and a few of them did yesterday, I thought. And in terms of the way the game finished, glutton for punishment, I watched the highlights back this morning, but when that goal went in, I mean, they all dropped to the ground. And my concern is psychologically now going into Tuesday, can they cope with the pressure in terms of it? It's very much history rewriting itself of last season now, where you think we've had so many chances to put ourselves in a good position.
Yeah.
When we've won games, unfortunately, teams around us have won games. But when they've dropped points, we've subsequently dropped points as well.
Yeah. I think the only sort of like ray of hope, which again, it's mad that we've had two draws and a loss against, teams in and around us. If we're counting Gillingham, Gillingham won't go for the playoffs. They're way too far behind. But let's call them a team in and around us, just based on the fact that like 10th or something.
They're one of the form teams in the league.
So, 3 games against teams in good form that may or may not be in and around us. That's 2 draws and a loss. That's not good form. The fact that we're still somehow 3 points from the automatics is great. It's very forgiving of how we've played recently, and you've got the likes of Rochdale and MK Dons who are tripping up Rotherham to thank you for that, because they seem to be, they're certainly not infallible by any means. But I think when you look at this Mandron's second goal, and I just think it's bizarre that we live in a world now. I mean, the last time I saw Mikhail Mandron at the Cinema Light was when he came on when we were losing 2-0 Liverpool in like the last minute. It was like a token youth substitution for the last 5 minutes from Gus Poyet. And, you could kind of tell that, we weren't going to keep this lad on.
He was only ever going to be a League One player, but
I think so. Yeah.
In League One now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
I don't know if you read that bit that Steve did on the site through the week, where the stat piece where he looked at all the data and stuff of target men and how Wyke sort of fared.
Yeah.
Again, and Mandron is the best target man in League One.
It's great.
Not in terms of goal return. Is a target man, bringing others into play, winning headers, shielding the ball, winning fouls.
He does the role the most effectively.
He is the most effective target man in League One. And he said, I hope he doesn't play. Because the prediction from the Gillingham fan we supported was that Kinde would play from the start. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. Mandron did. Mandron came in and he was brilliant for me.
I suppose ultimately fair play to him. When you get released from a club in the Premier League, which we were at the time, it can go one or two ways. You've seen, we've had players in our academy who've just totally fell off the radar completely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Only a few really seem to resurface. There's a few in League One now, and it's good to see that obviously his career hasn't fell by the wayside, because you never like to say that, but obviously I don't like it to be at the expense of us, not getting 3 points. But it was a good finish, and I will concede that. But when you look at the way that, that's the 96th minute, you should have 11 men behind the ball. Obviously, for your defence, your positioning should be there, but for everybody else, it should just be get your body in the way of that. You look at where some of them are stood before Mandron shoots, and they're just...
They're disjointed.
They're disjointed, yeah. I blame fatigue for that. I just think they switch off a bit. I think they give him a little bit too much space. And he takes a really good finish first time. But, if you're a bit more diligent and say you've got a little bit more on your tank, you might have the intuition to maybe get there in time, or to at least maybe, it's a butterfly effect. You put one of those defenders off, you shoulder to shoulder someone, put them under pressure, he doesn't get the pass off, or you're in front of Mandron, he doesn't get the shot off. It's really fine margins that stop that goal going in.
It was good to hear Parkinson talk about it after the game, and he recognised straight away what went wrong. He said, we've got to defend better.
Mm-hmm.
We should be throwing ourselves in the way of the ball when it's 96 minutes.
Of course.
I think people always say, though, just to play devil's advocate, if you concede in the last minute or just before half-time, it's really unlucky. It's all kind of part of the game. And obviously we equalised just a couple of weeks ago against Fleetwood in the 96th minute, It just happens. Goals happen then because people are tired and mistakes get made. It's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. But
then what I'm saying is...
It is the sign of a bad team. you know, like conceding a lot of late goals, you know, like either a fitness level or you're just not good enough, you know. But there had been a lot of changes in the central defence that game.
Yeah, what do you think about that, by the way?
Well, he brought, like, he took Ozturk off, didn't he, to kind of try and win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually thought that he was the only one that could, just because of the sheer size of him, that could actually handle, like, their massive strikers, you know?
Yeah.
If you want
a big lump to chuck himself in the way of something, Ozturk would be my go-to guy, just to lunge in the way of a ball to stop it going in.
And after that was Willis going up against him, and Willis isn't that big.
He came off recently, not yesterday.
I mean, I think he is our best central defender, Willis, but he's not our best central defender in the air.
No,
playing against
as an out-and-out central defender, I don't think he is. I think he
plays the ball the best by country.
But he's
fast.
If you look at him in his position, he doesn't really play centre-half, does he? He kind of plays like a right-back, bombing on down the right.
His original position was right-back.
Yeah,
you know?
You get that impression. You can see that because of the way he plays. Mm-hmm. When he went into a two, he looked uncomfortable, I felt.
Yeah.
And he did earlier in the season, I think for the first 10 games, I really wasn't impressed by him.
I thought he looked good, but I'd watched him before and I just felt as if he wasn't actually playing alongside anybody decent. And the defence, you know, the way Jack Ross had the defence set out, if you went to like Lincoln away, is probably the best example. We just couldn't cope with them. You know, there wasn't enough like big, strong, you know, I hate it. I'd love to just play beautiful football on the ground, but like that would be all right if we weren't in League One.
Absolutely.
You know?
Again, and it comes back to what I said before about the reason that they signed Bailey Wright and why.
He's been a big miss, you're
yeah,
right.
And maybe that's something to look at now. Although Ozturk can do a job. Do you need this guy we've got sitting in reserve? Mm. Yeah, he's a player who's played a lot of championship football. Importantly, he was captain of Ipswich.
I mean, I would drop Flanagan out of the three that are playing at the minute. I think Ozturk, throughout his Sunderland career, has always been unlucky, apart from his debut against Charlton, when obviously he was playing alongside Leuven. So they were like the slowest central defensive partnership in the history of football, never mind Sunderland. But
I don't think we appreciate at the time, just as a side point, just how bad a centre back pairing that was. Yeah. Like first game of the season, like I don't think we really like. And looking back now, it's like Jesus Christ, how do we not lose that game like 3-0?
We had all nine and Mumba centre mid, didn't we?
I think at the end of last season, apparently Jack Ross said that like the four central defenders that he'd signed, like none of them were good enough to be like sort of the number one guy. You know.
Yeah, well, I kind of.
And you look at that, you kind of say like Baldwin, you know, Flanagan, they're both too skinny. You know.
Well, it kind of. People say it all the time that if we'd signed a striker to replace Madger, we would have got promoted. I think by the same token, if we'd signed a decent centre-half and we hadn't played with Flanagan and Baldwin, you know. That's why I'm looking at it and I'm like, are these what we've got now good enough? I mean, Flanagan and Ozturk weren't deemed good enough last year.
No.
Exactly. You know, and they're still
on
the team.
I do think that they should kind of just, I'm not saying Flanagan deserves to be dropped, but if we're going to kind of play what exposed us yesterday and it will expose us again this season, you know, maybe some teams won't be as big, like Fleetwood aren't as big, but you may as well just have three massive centre halves in that system for me, and Flanagan's like too slim to fit that criteria, and obviously Willis isn't as tall, but I do think he's the best player.
Yeah,
so if you're going to have him, you may as well bring Smith or Lynch in and just have the physical bodies.
I think it's
and
nice
when people are taking long throws in the 96th minute, then you'll have like. And obviously, you need a settled defence as well, changing round the system as he's doing more and more, chasing games. I think that's why we conceded the goal yesterday. Bringing Lynch on seemed to be the right thing, but it was just another change of like who's marking who, and like are you on him now, or like I'm on this area. You kind of get used to it, don't you, when you play at the back? It's like it's all about having a settled defence, which is weird because that's what he builds his teams on. And he hasn't made that many changes, but like actually he's made quite a lot of changes in that back three.
In terms of, obviously, I mean, the positional wise and stuff like that, are we expecting anything different at all in terms of the way that he's going to approach Tuesday? Do you think he's going to stick to his same routine?
I think he can't drop Lafferty now. I think no manager, no matter how much they may like one striker, isn't going to drop another if they've just scored two goals that were the difference between a draw and a defeat in this case. But yeah, I think absolutely. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted. Gav's just wrangled his dog onto the sofa here. So that's happening, but you know.
You wanted to get up and see what's going on.
He was
that's all right. You know, if you've got any contribution you want to make, what's your dog called again, Gav?
Dennis.
If you want to make any contributions, Dennis, then feel free to bark. You know, we'll give us a happy bark if you like the performance, or an anguished one if you think we should make some changes.
He's waiting for his pink slice. That's what it is.
Well, aren't we all?
He got one the last time he came in.
Look, we're all waiting for the next pink slice. That's just how we live. You know, like everything I do in my life is a temporary distraction from the next pink slice. But no, will he make a change? I think he has to play Lafferty. So again, that regardless of how stubborn he may be to play Wyke, I think he doesn't have a choice. At the back, I really don't know. If I'm honest, I quite like the model of three at the back with what we've had so far, and I think it is a lot better than last season's. I mean, if you think we've gone from, we used to have two at the back for centre-backs, we had Baldwin and Flanagan, neither of which are strong, neither of which can play the ball under pressure. You know, that was, I think, in hindsight, a long way away from an automatic promotion team's centre-back pairing. If you look at even the teams like Portsmouth, who had like Burgess, and you look at who Coventry and Barnsley had, they were just so much better with the back. And, yeah, you know, with
sometimes
that,
when you see these teams, they do look bigger than us, even though we have bulked up and heightened up.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether he might bring Smith in or Lynch for the, you know, the way we conceded those goals.
Yeah.
I don't think, but Lynch isn't his signing, is he?
He's not, no, but...
I kind of feel as if he doesn't really fancy him, otherwise he wouldn't have been playing Flanagan so much.
He doesn't fancy his signings, though, by the looks of it,
so like, yeah, scratch that.
But no, I think I like the model, though, and it's far better than last season, having three at the back now, with maybe a ball-playing defender in Willis, and then two more sort of, like, no-nonsense type of centre-backs, like, you know, like just two that have much more of a simplistic... I mean, obviously, Ozturk's role is very simplistic in the team. You know, you win the ball in the air, you out-muscle your man, you get rid. You know, very, very basic role. But obviously, I think if you've got two of those players, you know, doing the more menial tasks for a defender in League One, the more laborious stuff, and then Willis is maybe your Rolls-Royce a bit, then that works very effectively. But, I would drop Flanagan. I think by that token, I would drop Flanagan just because he's not as strong, and Lynch, for me, is a better defender. I've liked him a lot this season, and I just think he's better. You know, hopefully his head injury's totally subsided by now.
Yeah. I feel he's got to learn from, like, the last three games, which, you know, whichever way you put it, just aren't good enough. You
absolutely
know,
like, not.
Sort of, we haven't won... one of the draws was quite lucky, really. You know, we did well, like, not to lose against Fleetwood, and statistically we did well not to lose yesterday, because they had more like straight clear-cut opportunities than us. So I think if he's going to sort of say, like, right, okay, we've got this many games left, whether there's a big break, am I going to like switch things around and just like set it out for the rest of the season? I think he will have like Human or Nyan there, and but it, like, I think maybe switching centre halves, and then maybe bring Scowen in. I think he should start on Tuesday. Like we should be able to overcome Bristol Rovers. They've never given us that many problems, have they? You know, when we've played them. There's been a few teams where you think like, Jesus Christ, we've played them. You know, like
Chillingham.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Like Burton. Have we beat Burton and Coventry since we've been in this league?
Nope.
You know, there's a few teams where we've struggled against, but like.
We just generally struggle against anyone decent, don't we? It's sort of thing,
isn't it? We struggle against people that are pretty rubbish as well. But we're just not consistent enough. And I don't know whether it is, we're just not good enough, like across the board. But we can't change the players now, so we just have to go for it. But I think we need to be tougher at the back. The way we conceded those two goals yesterday, and there was big, strong tackles like flying in a couple of months ago, and I feel as if they are like maybe. Not physically tired, but mentally tired.
Which is why it'd be a very good time for, say, Lynch or Smith to come in. I mean, obviously you don't want to totally shift it out too much. But end of the day, if those lads are, as you say, physically and mentally tired, then we do need changes. Like, that's not up for debate. Like, if they're knackered now, you can't. They can't play nine more games. I don't. You know, international break or not, if you know the mental fatigue and the mental drain and the impact, it's going to be a lot more profound in the long term than the physical is. They can recover, but if they're still sort of like, if they're still gutted from some of these results, then they need to be dropped, because we can't let morale affect how they do on
the pitch.
There's
too many players in the comfort zone as well that don't think they're going to get dropped, because they haven't been. No. You know? And they'll know, they'll be like, oh yeah, like, you know, Max Power went through a really good spell, and I think he's been quite average the last month.
He's dined out on a bit, hasn't he?
And he hasn't been poor, but he's just like dropped his standard a little bit. He's still kind of there motivating the team. He'll know in his mind that he hasn't been playing as well as what he was, but he probably thinks like, he's not going to drop us. He's made his captain. Like, who else is he going to? Gooch is the same, you know. And I think like sometimes like an early substitution can do that. It's more like a half drop, you know what I mean? Or like saying like, listen, you know, like yesterday, like say Wyke can get through the game, you know, you might sort of say, like, I'm going to start you on the bench, but I'll be bringing you on for the last 30. You know, just like rotating it a little bit more, making your substitutions a bit earlier. And, you know, when people aren't playing well and they're not and they're sort of hiding a bit or they're not looking that confident, take them off after like 55 minutes, an hour. if you believe that the players on the bench are good enough to do the job, then use them, you know.
I know that has been one of the criticisms of the fan base, hasn't it? Because, you know, when we've kind of put articles out and we're saying about maybe chopping and changing, and I know the lads at Wise Men Save said their bit that, you know, people need to freshen up. I don't think that is in any way, shape or form doing a disservice to the lads who are on the pitch. It's just like we can all agree on, they've just played an awful lot of football. And
absolutely.
It is starting to take its toll on some
of them. It's a very physical league, isn't it? You know, there's no let out, you know. Like sometimes when you watch Premier League games when people are 2-0 up, especially Man City, they'll just like take the sting out of the game and keep the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like with us in this league, it's non-stop hustle and bustle, and you know it's very physical.
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, perhaps probably a good time to wrap things up. We do have Bristol on Tuesday. Shall we get some predictions? What do we think?
I'm struggling because I don't know what the team's going to be, but presuming he's probably going to stick with largely the same 11, a very close 4-1-0 win. Mm-hmm. I think he's just. Knowing Parkinson, he prides himself on defence, and we've conceded in the last three games, and he's going to want to get back to basics. So I'm even though it's Bristol, I think we'll be tight. We'll try and sneak a win, and I think he's got to maybe look at that dynamic up top and think, well, Lafferty coming to the team worked. Do we need maybe change something else? I don't suspect he will though. I think it's going to be the same 11, to be honest, providing everyone's fit. So yeah, 1-0 for me, like
Alex.
Yeah, I would probably, you know, not to be boring, but I'd go with the same. I just think he's going to make, you know, my worst case scenario, he doesn't make any changes, and he might not make any changes because that's what we've seen before, but I think he might make one or two at most, two with an absolute push. I think it'll be tough, and I don't think they'll make it easy, but I reckon 1-0, and I reckon Lafferty will score again.
Martin?
I'm going to go for 2-0 just to be a bit more positive, and just because I think...
You can still sneak a 2-0 win.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think Bristol Rovers have like offered that much, you know, but I do think we need to bounce back, and it is like I think it will be the players will be gutted, and they'll want to kind of like show something from that game, and I think we've got too much for them in the creative areas, you know, like I think if Maguire turns it on, but that's the same in every game really, isn't it, you know, he's like, I think the balance of the team is much better now that he's kind of the main creator. When McGeady was there last year, it was like you were thinking, oh, it's great to have all of these players who can all capable of scoring, but we're like lacking something in terms of like winning the ball back, and I think he likes being the main man, so I think he's our most important player going into the sort of final run of the season.
Definitely. For me, to be honest, I came out the ground yesterday and I, you know, lost my shit as I always do, and I said we're not going up. I had my meltdown and I was like, the club's going to be fucked next year because we've lost parachute payments, and then like 6, 7, 8 pints later I'm like, you know what, we can still sneak second, you know, when you just do that.
Really? It's not going to happen like the opposite way around?
Oh no, honest to God, I'm all over the place at the moment.
Fair enough, give you that.
You know what, I can't see us winning. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
You are shocking.
I'm a scumbag, I know. I'm going to go with a draw. I think it's going to be a really, really difficult game. And like I said yesterday, earlier, when they equalised late on yesterday, you could just see so many players had just dropped to the ground. I don't know, it just felt like something had sunk in a little bit of them, like that was a missed opportunity. And I just don't know if they can recover in such a quick space of time. But I'd like to see Lafferty start up front again. I think he will, and I think he'll score given the chance.
It would be outrageous if he didn't, wouldn't
it?
Hell on. Yeah, it should be absolute hell on if he doesn't. That's probably a decent time to leave us. So, as always, thank you very much for listening. You can stay up to date with the Roker Report podcast by subscribing on Apple, Spotify, Acast, and YouTube.
Mm-hmm. All 5 years on YouTube.
I was going to say.
Oh, what? What was that?
No, it was YouTube.
All 5 years. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, YouTube music hasn't really took off, has it?
No, it certainly hasn't.
But we're still plugging away there, you know. When it does eventually take off, Roker Report will be in amongst it.
I'm sure, as Steve Bruce would say, it'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Our next avenue is making one of you stand outside with a red coat on, and we'll go from there.
How's the beginning, did you see it?
No, yeah. But that's been brilliant. Gav, thanks for coming in.
No problem. Cheers.
Are you hosting next week?
Probably.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's all right.
Martin, thanks for having us. And for everybody else who haven't been to the Roker End Calf, do please come in because you can get pink slices and they are literally the size of a plate. So, yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.